Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 13th day of March, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, I will send you Elijah. Of course, we're talking about Malachi chapters 3 and 4, and we're going to spend most of our time talking about chapter 4 this evening. Some of the meanings of the words in there, and a few other things that have been mistranslated, and why I think it's important for us at this time in history. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru and Bith. Callers are welcome, and we will ask that you keep it short and to the point as much as possible so others can participate. And I remind you that we are in the question and answer mode using the free conference call platform. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and on that site you'll see many research aids, news items, health tips, archives of the programs in the past, all the way back to 1999 when we started. There is another page with archives of other people's programs that I think are very beneficial, so it's not just my own. We have a new page, Lock and Load, for the folks out there that want to have a little help in determining what's a good self-defense weapon to buy. And as with all things, for instance, even a car, okay, you just don't go out and buy a car and jump behind a wheel, do you? You go and get training. Not that a driver's license means that you have training, but you should get training of some sort, either from your parents or relatives or from a school. But you get trained in it. Why? Because you don't want to hurt anybody. Well, it's no different than with a weapon, okay? A weapon is a serious thing. It can harm people if used improperly. And therefore, you should get training in the proper use of it and then go out and practice with it, if you can. Now, some people are in locations where that's difficult, but usually you know somebody that lives out in the country, or you can go to a place that sells weapons. Typically, they have a firing range in the back, and many times they will even let you rent or borrow one of their weapons to try it out. So just a good thing to keep in mind. A shout out to Jimmy and the 7 Radio TV audience over there in Tampa, and welcome to all you folks as well. And we certainly pray that everything is going well for folks. We're going to have a little prayer request here in a minute. I see Henry is logged in, so I'm going to ask him to come on with me for a minute and talk about a few things here before we get into the meat of the matter. This quote, I often say this quote because it means so much. We don't have good leadership in this country, and actually this world, but mostly here in the United States. We're the world leader, whether we like it or not. And we were the city on the hill with 1,000 lights, okay, so to speak. And our leadership went awry because we no longer held our leadership accountable for anything. So even when we found out they were dirtbags, they were corrupt, they were taking bribes, they were lying in the witness stand, etc., we didn't hold them accountable anymore. And so because of that, we have what we got today. But Thomas Watson Sr. is given credit for this quote, and I think we need to keep this in mind. Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself. Keep that in mind. In other words, politicians and even preachers and all these talking heads, they're great about stage performances and cameo appearances, saying the things that you want to hear. Okay? but they don't back it up with their actions. You know, the scripture tells us to be doers and not hearers only. There's an old saying, actions speak louder than words. We forgot all those common sense things, and we need to get back to that, okay? Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love Yahweh God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Again, that's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I see Jimmy put up here that Trump is failing. It looks like he's going to let Roger Stone hang. You know, I'm almost at the point personally where I don't watch a whole lot of anything, even on the alternative media anymore, because it's in the beginning it was good, but the enemy figured out that that's where we're getting our news, and they've infiltrated it. And so we're getting inundated with a bunch of BS, kabuki theater. So I don't trust anything coming out of Washington. I think it's all a swamp. I don't think anything's changed. I don't think it's going to change, to be honest with you. Not from within. If it changes, it'll be pressure from without. Just my opinion, because like I said, it's not looking good for the white knight syndrome, so to speak, coming to pass here. I had another one here for you. Let's see here. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Again, this one's because it's so apropos. I've talked to many of our guests that come on the program, and they have verified that this is happening in their lives and many of the people they know. So Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it will be in the last days, which is where we're at, near the end of the age, that Yahweh says that I will pour out my spirit, now his spirit, okay, holy, sanctified, righteous spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I don't know about the rest of the old folks that come to this channel, but yours truly is dreaming like there's no tomorrow. I've always dreamed as long as I can remember, but lately it just seems to be going into overdrive. So, okay, and then this one I got off of the YouTube channel entitled Black Pilled. When non-white men get angry, they burn a few buildings. When white men get angry, they burn down empires. It goes along with Rudyard Kipling's poem, When the Saxon Learns to Hate. So anyway, I'm going to bring Henry on here for just a second before we get into the meat of the matter. Henry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, I didn't know how much you want to let folks know about your situation so we can put out a prayer request.
Walking today and just my dog was on the other side of the road, and I was just kind of keeping my eye on him, and wasn't paying attention, and so I'm on the edge of the car, of the concrete on the road, and it's a big drop, and I just hit the wrong spot at the wrong time, and my foot went 90 degrees inward, and I fell, and I was so desperate, I didn't know what to do. There was a house nearby, and I knew someone was home, and I should have actually just yelled and asked them to come out and give me a ride home, but instead I don't know why. I guess it was my pride or whatever, or embarrassment. I don't know what it was, but I just decided I was just going to grit it out and walk home. And it was wicked painful. But I'll tell you, that was about 1 o'clock this afternoon. And I can't even take, like, 3 steps right now. I literally, if I stand up right now, I stand up on my right foot, and I can't put any weight on it. It is broken. So I managed to go and get an x-ray. I wanted to get an x-ray right away because I knew it was bad, and I suspected that it was broken. And sure enough, the doctor called me about 5 o'clock tonight and confirmed that. So now I just got to, I don't know what's next. I haven't even taken any pain meds yet. because I'm gonna wait until if I can't sleep tonight, I'll just take something then. But I don't know. Thank God I've got a wonderful wife though, because without her right now, man, I'd be in a shitload of trouble.
Yeah, praise God for that.
I don't know. It's been a rough year, Dan. I've like I said in my email, it's been one thing after another, and this is like the icing on the cake. I keep saying it's gonna. This thing's gonna turn around, but apparently, I got one more hurdle to go here. So,
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, we just read that verse about all things work to the good. I have no idea why something like that would befall you and how it would lead to good, but you know, I've always had the opinion that everything in my life leads to the good. Maybe it's by just having the right attitude, even when travail comes your way, you know.
I know it. You know, right now I'm in the first several hours of it, so it's I'm having trouble getting the right attitude right now, but I know you're exactly right. I was actually thinking about that verse and the ramifications that possibly might be in effect here in my own life. As you know, my wife and I are looking to move out of the Northeast, and we've been aggressively searching in the Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina area, and we actually found a house that we want to. She wants to, you know, my wife was going to go down and look at. She was actually going to book the flight, I think, tonight, tomorrow. And so maybe this is a sign that that wasn't the house. Maybe because she's not going to go now because I'm laid up and put it off, at least until I find out when I can stop moving around again. But I don't know, maybe that wasn't the place for us, and maybe could possibly be the reason this happened. I don't know. You know, who knows?
Well, you know, I've heard of stranger things. I've had things happen in my life that took me off on a detour. I cursed it at the time. And yet looking back at it, it led to some other things that down the road, I could actually see where it somehow benefited me. So, you know, again, like you said, when you're in the middle of it and the pain is running up your leg and it's excruciating, it's really tough to do that. But as we get into talking about Elijah here, I'm going to read some of the attributes of him as a man, and I think you'll identify with him as much as I do in his life, and yet he was considered one of the major prophets of Yahweh. So I think we can take a lesson from Elijah, and you know, we just keep on going forward. But we're going to ask everybody that hears this to keep you in their prayers. We certainly ask Father Yahweh to bless you and give you strength and give you a quick healing period and just be with you emotionally as well, and let the Holy Spirit administer to you and to encourage you and keep your spirits up as much as possible. And we're asking that in the name of Yahweh.
I really appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and let you rest a little bit, put you on mute while I sort of ramble on here for a little bit, okay?
You do it. All right.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Okay, again, folks, that's Henry up there in Connecticut, a frequent guest on the program, so he's coveting prayers from all of us that Father will, you know, step in and give him some relief from that pain without the use of pharmaceuticals. We certainly hope that can happen. No more pharmaceuticals, no more poisons. We've had enough. Yeah, we do need a walk away movement, and that's the righteous to walk away from the world. Walk away from everything that's Babylonian. It's just insanity. The things I'm reading about today it's very hard not to be discouraged. It really is. I mean, mostly because it's indicative of just how low man can go. I mean, the left and the news media that's controlled by the Zionists, of course, is completely insane. I mean, every word they utter is utter nonsense and in-your-face stupid, unbelievable, an insult to anybody's intelligence. And yet we see this insanity seems to permeate our society. And again, and unless we have a repentance and a revival and return to the Father, I don't see a solution that's a good one. That's just my opinion, okay? All these things in my own personal life and what I see happening to us as a people tells me that these are the things that befall people who have walked away from our Heavenly Father, okay? It's really that simple. So it is a return to the Father that triggers the cleansing, that triggers the book of Revelation and all the wonderful things that are going to come to his people. They will come. There is no doubt about that. Not a shred of doubt about that. But we have to remember there was a price. There is a condition. Everybody says he has unconditional love. Well, that's not necessarily true. Not in the way people mean it, anyway. He does have conditions. That's why Hosea 4:6 starts out with, if my people, okay? Many of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the laws and the statutes and regulations of our Father, many times it says, if my people, if. It's called a conditional statement, meaning following the if is a series of conditions. If it's not held, if it's not performed, you do not get the result, okay? 2 Chronicles 17, another perfect example. If my people who are called by my name, all right? If. And the problem I see today in this world is not a whole lot of people are understanding it's the falling away from our Father that has brought us to this point. And so the corollary of that, of course, is that the answer to our woes is coming back to the Father. And that's why I picked Malachi 4. It's a short chapter, and we're going to talk about it, and then the attributes of Elijah the prophet, and a few of the definitions that are in 1st and 2nd Kings that talk about Elijah, mistranslations that kind of muddy the waters a little bit as far as he is concerned. So let me get my notes here, and we'll just read it. Malachi 4, and this is the World English Bible. And every translation has it slightly different, but this one's pretty good. For behold, the day comes, it burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all who work wickedness will be stubble. And the day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, I read some of Matthew Henry's commentaries and Joseph Benton, who wrote the Benton Septuagint version of the Old Testament in English. And both of those have a lot to say about this here, and the fact that also Lamza, this is an idiomatic expression when it says, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That is a biblical way of saying utter destruction, as in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18, as well. Utter destruction. But to you who fear my name, now fear, reverence, could be translated reverence as easily as the word fear. But to you who revere my name, shall the sun, and that's S-U-N, sun, as it the orb in the sky, the sun of righteousness arise with healing in its wings. And we do know the sun has healing in its wings, those of us that study the natural health issues. You will go out and leap like calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked. Now let me repeat that, verse 3 here in chapter 4. You shall tread down the wicked. You. Now who's the you? The ones that fear and revere his name. That's a select group. That's not everybody. I don't see anything in there that says anything about the Pentagon or any other group of pure men that are doing it, trusting in the arm of flesh or in human form rather than our Father. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Yahweh of armies. So that's twice in these first few verses that he's referred to as Yahweh of armies, as in Ezekiel chapter 37. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Oreb for all of Jacob Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. Now, a lot of people say that was when Christ came, but this is the terrible day of Yahweh, and he's referred to earlier as Yahweh of armies. Isaiah 33 and 22 says that our Savior is Yahweh. Even the Messiah, when he walked here, his name is Yahweh Saves. So everything points to Yahweh. He says, I am a jealous God, me. There is none other but me. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. What is that, a plague? So we get into this here. First of all, Elijah, the very name Elijah or Elijah is God is my, Yahweh is my God, or Yah is God. Okay, it can be interpreted either way. So the very name of the prophet means that Yah is God. The shortened form of Yahweh, of course, is Yah, the same as Dan is the shortened form of Daniel. It's exactly the same thing. So he is a great prophet. In the Greek language, it is prophetes, and it's an interpreter of oracles or of other hidden things. Number two, one who, moved by the Spirit of Yahweh God, and hence his organ or spokesman, solemnly declares to men what he has received by inspiration, especially concerning future events, and in particular, such as relate to the cause and kingdom of Yahweh and to human salvation. Remember, the salvation talked about in the Greek literature and the scriptures is talking about salvation from physical harm, as in what we're seeing in the world today around us. Physical harm being done to us by these traitors, these misfits, these Satanists. Physical harm to both us and to our children. And again, that's the Greek word 4396, prophetes, and then the equivalent in the Paleo Hebrew is 5030, Nabia. Okay, spokesman, speaker, prophet. And it comes from another Hebrew word, is the root of it, and that's 5012, Naba, meaning to prophesize, under the influence of divine spirit. And then I read Matthew Henry's commentary, and I'm going to read just a portion of it because he has something interesting to say about these folks called Jews here. Now, again, this is Matthew Henry's commentaries, and they've been around in Christian bookstores forever. But like most books, our people don't pick them up and read them. So most of them sit there collecting dust, but they're interesting when you get to them and you do read them. It shall make them victorious over their enemies, speaking of Malachi 4:3. You shall tread down the wicked. Time was when the wicked trod them down, said to their souls, bow down that we may go over. But the day will come when they shall tread down the wicked. So in other words, we've been the ones persecuted, pushed down, tread upon for quite some time. The wicked, being made Christ's footstool, are made theirs also, meaning the footstool of us, his sons and daughters, referencing Psalm 110, verse 1. And come and worship before the feet of the church, Revelation 3:9. The elder shall serve the younger. When believers by faith overcome the world, when they suppress their own corrupt appetites and passions, when the God of peace bruises Satan under their feet, then they tread down the wicked. When it came to the turn of the Christians to triumph over the Jews that had insulted over them. So Matthew Henry comes out and calls a spade a spade. Then this promise was fulfilled. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. They shall not only be trodden down, but be trodden to dirt. In other words, destroyed. Further down into here, he goes, by the accomplishment of these prophecies in the ruin of the Jewish nation, we should have our faith confirmed in the assurances Yeshua the Christ has given us concerning the dissolution of all things. Surely I come quickly, so says Christ the Lord of hosts, to whom all power in heaven is committed. So right there in chapter 4, Matthew Henry seems to understand. Thayer's Greek lexicon in the writings of John also understands what these people are, and they are our adversaries, and yet the church world is telling us these people are God's chosen, and that we should look the other way when they commit murder against the Palestinians, when they murder United States sailors and try to sink a United States ship and then blame it on the Arabs. Okay? On and on and on it goes. These people are supposed to get a pass. They can foist on us this whole holohoax garbage and use the legal system to cram it down our children's throat, and yet revisionism and any questioning of it is treated as if you're a racist for even bringing it up. This is showing their unjust and undeserved control over we the sheep. So, speaking of Malachi 4, starting at verse 1, Joseph Benson, author of the Benson translation, for behold, the day cometh, though it may appear to be at a distance from you, yet it is coming and will soon overtake and overwhelm you, even that great and terrible day of Yahweh, as it is called in Joel 2, verse 31, that shall burn as an oven. Yahweh is described as a consuming fire when he comes to execute his judgments, Deuteronomy 4:24. And the prediction here was remarkably verified when, upon the taking of the city and temple of Jerusalem by the Roman army under Titus, they were both destroyed by such flames as no human power could quench. The refiner's fire mentioned in Malachi 3, verse 2. Now became unspeakably more dreadful, raging everywhere through the city and temple, and most fiercely where the arched roofs made it double itself and enfold the flames within flames, by which terrible destruction and the judgments accompanying it an end was put to the whole state of the Jews. An awful image of this, of the conflagration of the heavens and the earth and the final judgment of the last day on the whole human race, and all the proud, such especially as those spoken of in Malachi 3, verse 15, and all that do wickedly, all impenitent sinners of whatever kind, whether heathen, Jews, or Christians, so-called, even all who do not obey the truth, whether manifested by Yahweh's works or by his word, but obey unrighteousness, such be as stubble, meaning shall perish by these awful judgments. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, shall totally and speedily consume them. It shall leave them neither root nor branch, a proverbial expression for utter destruction, and signifying, as applied to the unbelieving Jews, that both they and their families should be utterly destroyed. So, these two gentlemen who are, like I said, their works are all over Christian bookstores, and yet in the whitewashed sepulchers today, they're telling you the very people that he's talking about being utterly destroyed are somehow Yahweh's chosen people, that even though they mock the Christ, they mock Christians, they mock our churches, they mock our traditions, our rituals, our establishments, they hate our race, they hate our faith, they hate the Christ. Their very religion hates all these things. And by implication, they hate Yahweh himself. And yet we're holding him up as some kind of special people that they can get away literally with murder. It's just unbelievable to me. And one of the other translational errors that I came across was in 1 and 2 Kings when they're referring to Elijah. And the verse, I didn't write it down, but there's a verse in there that talks about the ravens that were sent to feed him bread and water. And I remember as a young boy when I read that and I thought, why would ravens bring food and water to a man? That doesn't make any sense. So you go and you look it up and you find out the actual words that were translated that way, we still use the word to this day. It's Arab, A-R-A-B. We call them Arabs, Arab. Why? Because they're dark. The Hebrew word meant to cast a shadow or become dark. Okay, now people say it's a raven or a crow because they're black, obviously dark. Okay, but that's just two birds. Okay, the word could mean more than that. So who have darker skins than we do? The typical Anglo-Saxon. Well, Middle Easterners do when they're out in the sun all the time. Plus, it's their natural complexion. But mostly, many of them have Abrahamic blood in them. And it's the sun tanning of the skin. My uncle, when it was summertime and he was out baling hay many hours of the day, all week long, getting in the hay for the winter, his arms were almost black. They almost turned black. Now, everybody else in our family didn't have that issue, but my dad's brother, his arms would get that dark. And then wintertime, of course, they would lighten back up again. So the Middle Easterners being referred to as Arab would make perfect sense. So did he send ravens? No. Did he send Middle Easterners, Arab, dark people, to minister under Elijah? Yeah, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So again, the translations somewhat misguided and tend to make people think it's foolishness, our Bible. But here again, if we do the due diligence and look into the word, then we find out that with a little bit of effort in doing some research into the etymology of the words, that we come up with the correct translation, and then it makes perfect sense. So again, Malachi 4 tells us that these wicked will be burned up as stubble, which of course they will. Psalm 149 tells us that we are his instruments of war. So does Jeremiah 50, that we are his battle axes and weapons of war. So we don't get to sit it out. Okay, a lot of people don't like the idea of violence or taking part in putting down wicked people, but that's why we were put here. I hope people understand that, okay? Yeah, in a perfect world, guess what? We wouldn't have to kill animals and eat meat. We wouldn't have to kill vegetation and eat that. Unfortunately, Yahweh made this world, and that's the way he made it. And you and I don't get a chance to have a say, okay? The pot cannot question the potter. We are the clay that he formed and made and put in this world, and that's the natural order of things, okay? It's just the natural order of things. In this present world that we're trapped in, this prison planet under this dome, those are the rules, okay? He is the rule giver. Those are the rules. Just learn to live with them, all right? And, you know, in this complete insane world that we live in today, you know, men are men and women are women, and your anatomy determines which you are. And this whole nonsensical thing that about pronouns and about descriptions and don't offend and all that. Come on. Are you kidding me? It's just nuttier every day. It's just completely nutty. And again, that's why I think we need a walk away movement. Walk away from it all. Walk away from Washington. They have no power if we don't give it to them. We are in control. We the people. All we have to do is come together and agree on it. Can we come together and agree that Yahweh's law is the law that matters? Can we do that? Our founding fathers did. That's why the laws of this land were based on Scripture. It was called the common law, because every common person understood God's law. That's why he said, I wrote it upon the hearts of my people. Because there were no scriptures, okay? You people, a lot of times, you've got this thing where everybody walked around with a pocket New Testament or a Geneva Bible under their arms. Or what. Those things didn't come until the latter part of the Middle Ages. So for many, many, many centuries, our people did not have any written words. He said, I wrote my law on the heart of my people. And that's when we lose it, folks. That's when you lose the edge, when you turn your back on the Father. I hope you understand that. When you're walking in agreement with him, you have a counselor. He said, I will never forsake you, and he won't. And when he came to earth and put upon flesh and died that terrible death because of our sin, and to reunite us after he had divorced us, he did all those things so that you would have a counselor called a Holy Spirit who would administer to you. That's real time. That doesn't require a concordance, a lexicon, or even a Bible. It doesn't require a study into words that haven't existed for 3,500 years. Okay? Because there's room for error in all that. But there is no error with the small, still voice of the Father speaking to you. There is no error. He speaks in a language you can understand. Whatever language that is, whatever dialect that is, whatever vocabulary level you're at, he speaks to you plainly. But do you listen? I had a case where a relative the other night was on the phone telling me about his kidney stone problem and how bad it was, and I started telling him what I do when I get him, and he said, my gosh, I wish you'd have told me that 5 days ago. He goes, I've been in such pain. And I said, well, I hate to bust your bubble, but I've told you about this remedy every time over the past 30 years you get a stone, I've told you what to do. You see the point I'm making here? You can confront people with the truth, but whether they'll latch onto it and implement it. That's why Christ said the sign of conversion is a changed life. Okay? You can study all you want about herbs and organics and non-GMO and non-hybrid, blah, 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 about good food. But if you don't put it into practice, do you think you're going to get the benefit? Do you think just knowing why GMO foods are bad for you is enough? Or why vaccines are poison to you? Or why fluoride is... Just knowing it is going to help you? Or is it when you put it into practice? Reminds me of being on the football field when the coach would come up and instruct me on how to improve my performance as a guard on the offensive line and as a tackle on the defensive line. And sometimes those kind words of instruction came with a boot up my rear end or a clipboard up alongside my helmet, just to make sure I was paying attention. The point of it is, when I implemented what the coach told me, my ability to block the other guy or get through the offensive line and tackle the quarterback was made better. But if I just heard it and didn't put it into practice, what good would it have been? None. That's why this world is so chaotic right now and completely unhinged. We're off the tracks, folks. We're completely off the tracks. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. I don't even know what's keeping us afloat right now. There is so much criminality and just insanity out there. I don't even know what's keeping us afloat. Why Father hasn't flushed us down the toilet of history, I don't know. And start all over. Plant new seeds, another Adam and Eve, start all over again, wipe this one clean, put in fresh trees, water, air that we haven't polluted yet with our idiocy, heirloom seeds, purebred animals, purebred people, because we've made this a complete hellhole. This is a cesspool. because it's Mystery Babylon. Mystery means not that you can't figure it out. It just means you have to dig for it. Babylon is confusion caused by admixture. And what have we admixtured? We've mixed Yahweh's system with man's. We've mixed his law with man's law. And now we even have gotten to the point where we say his law no longer has jurisdiction. Man's law, man's way, man's regulation, man's government, man's banking, man's agricultural, man's universities, man's medical facilities all take precedent over our Heavenly Father and common sense, by the way. So you see why repentance is needed, which is a change in the way you think. Repentance and coming back to the Father. Because if we don't do that, we're done. That's all there is to it. We're done. Okay? Now, the good news is, I'm reading that book by Jamie Walden, Omega Dynamics, which is a book about the modern-day Christian warrior. And he was a warrior in our military. I believe he was a first responder as well for part of his time. A young man, but very, very well written. And the very first, I'm about 50 to 60 pages into the book. And it's almost like Jamie has been listening to some of these broadcasts. It really is amazing. Coach Dabamir, sounds like he's been listening. There's many other truther channels where they are starting to speak the things that we have been pounding and pounding and pounding the table about since 1999. And before that, it was in personal appearances at gatherings. So the Watchmen have been beating the drum, and it does sound like a few people are listening. So praise Yahweh. Keep that in your prayers as well, that this word goes out there and energizes our people. They have to realize that we have skipped off the rails, as the people out there in the railroad business know what I'm talking about. When a train jumps the track, man, it's a disaster. Very hard to get back on track. Very hard. Takes a lot of heavy equipment to get the train back up on the tracks. Just a complete disaster. And if that train is running down the rails at 60 miles an hour and it jumps the tracks, then it's really bad. Well, we've jumped the tracks as a people, the white race, the Israelites of old. We've jumped the tracks. I mean, you can't expect all these other people to behave when Yahweh's own people are misbehaving, okay? Judgment starts in the house of Yahweh. What it says. So think about that. Now this, we're going to go down through this website's article on who was Elijah and why is his Bible story still important today, by Christy Woods. It's at crosswalk.com, and I'm not going to say it's perfect, but I thought she did a pretty good job of nailing it here. So we're going to read parts of it, and again, just to give you a backdrop, when he says, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet, and we've talked about this, we are at the end of the age. There isn't much time left for mankind. We've ruined everything. So we're at that point that Malachi's talking about, so we should know what to look for, shouldn't we? So that's why I wanted to talk a little bit. Well, what was Elijah like? So let's talk a little bit about him, and this will give you a hint as what you should be looking for. His name means Yahweh is my God. The message of his life matched his name. It still does today. Not only do we see evidence of this man threaded throughout portions of the Old Testament, but we also find mention of him sprinkled in the New Testament as well. His name, Elijah. Who was Elijah? What did he accomplish? As a person, what was he like? How did his faith intertwine with his everyday living? And how does he impact us? Let's take a look at 15 attributes of Elijah and see how this man of faith encourages us in our own faith today. Number one, Elijah was a prophet. Elijah's message and the meaning of his name go together like a fresh glass of milk and warm cookies. He walked, talked, and encouraged others to believe that truly Yahweh was Elohim God, just as his name purported. As a prophet, he adamantly shared Yahweh's message and warnings. Often, both came under fire. Sometimes, however, people turned from following false gods and found themselves deep in worship of the Holy One. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you waver between the two sides? If Yahweh is Elohim God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people did not say a word. That's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. Number two, Elijah was a man who heard God. Time after time in Scripture, we see folks leaning their ear towards the Almighty. Include Elijah on this list. Call him a man who heard God. Peppered throughout 1 Kings chapter 17, as well as in 2 Kings 1 and 2, we see instances of Elijah leaning his ear. Then Yahweh's word came to him, 1 Kings 17:2. He came to a cave there and camped there, and behold, Yahweh's word came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So he spoke with Yahweh, and Yahweh spoke with him. Elijah was a man who walked in obedience. Multiple times, Yahweh directed Elijah to speak hard truths, trust for provision when circumstances appeared bleak, or stand firm in faith of Yahweh's promises being fulfilled. Time and time again, Elijah set the example of loyal obedience to Yahweh God our Father. So he went and did according to Yahweh's word, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. 1 Kings 17, verse 5. So he arose and went to Zarephath. 1 Kings 17:10. Elijah was a man who experienced God's provision. Elijah drank in Yahweh's promises and found his needs quenched by the Almighty's hand. Here are three instances. They say here ravens, but of course we want Arabs. The Arabs fed him, 1 Kings 17:1 through 6. A handful of flour and a few drops of oil multiplied for miraculous sustenance, 1 Kings 17:7 through 24. Elijah ran with energy far beyond human capability, 1 Kings 18:41 through 46. Yahweh's provision displayed powerful and beautifully in the life of Elijah. These instances and others can easily turn our eyes toward our Father's love, healing, wisdom, and provision as well. Another example in Scripture, "You shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the Arabs to feed you there." 1 Kings 17, verse 4. The Arabs brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So he had good fresh water. 1 Kings 17, 8. Elijah was a prayer warrior. We see Elijah in communion with Yahweh many times throughout the Old Testament. He sets an example for us in our walk of faith. He stands as a voice encouraging all to grab prayer and be a warrior, to know that Yahweh is our Elohim God, and to follow him. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. The book of James, or Jacob, chapter 5, 17. Number 6, Elijah expected miracles. We see miracles threaded throughout Elijah's ministry. He stood as a man who trusted Yahweh, one who anticipated Yahweh's fulfilling his promise. In the process, we also see miracles. A bowl offering doused in water, enough to overflow and fill the surrounding trench, proved no match for the fire of Yahweh. I consider that a miracle at the hands of Yahweh Almighty. 1 Kings 18, verse 38, "Then Yahweh's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Number 7, Elijah was brave. The message Elijah championed rang clear and seemingly easy, but not everyone wanted to hear its contents. Jezebel stood at the front of that line. She sought out and put prophets of Yahweh to death. Meanwhile, her husband, King Ahab, allowed it, and simply continued worshiping Baal. An unwelcomed message, however, did not deter Elijah. He bravely championed Yahweh Almighty and the messages given from above, even when those messages offered challenges, correction, or bad news for the one receiving them. Number 8, Elijah hated and confronted evil. Boy, could we use a bunch of Elijahs today instead of pew setters. Jezebel coaxed her husband, King Ahab, into Baal worship versus Yahweh worship. Ahab did evil in the sight of Yahweh, forsaking Yahweh's commandments. It was an ugly scene in Israel. Okay? That's what it is today. Every white nation today. Ugly, ugly, ugly. Enter Elijah. Yahweh sent him to offer hard words, to bring accountability and warning where both proved due, and to champion belief in the Almighty. Follow the thread as he confronts Ahab, then challenges followers of Baal with water, an offering, and fire. All of this is noted in 1 Kings chapter 18. Number 9, Elijah was a man who held belief when situations turned dim. Many times Elijah found himself in the midst of a seemingly dimming situation, but he held belief. When promised rain remained absent, Elijah held belief, sending his servant to check the horizon 7 times. Just as Yahweh promised, it rained. Yahweh promises, his promises remain true for us today. He said to his servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." He went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." He said, "Go again 7 times. Again, this is in 1 Kings 18. Number 10, Elijah ran in fear. Now, pay attention, folks. Pay attention. You often read about these people in the Bible, and sometimes you put them on a pedestal. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put any person on a pedestal. Not even somebody as great as Moses and Elijah. So Elijah ran in fear. At times, it's easy to hold a perception that folks like David, Moses, and Paul loom larger than life. But they struggled with emotions evidenced in the Bible. Elijah wrestled as well. His life rang authentic. The man who stood in solid obedience and courage also ran in fear. Makes you think of Peter in the garden, doesn't it? Throughout 1 Kings chapter 19, we see Elijah grappling amid the battle with fear. But we see also Yahweh. As Elijah turns focus to Yahweh, the scene changes. The fear clawing and scratching at Elijah dissolves. So, yes, Elijah ran in fear, but he also found courage through Yahweh God. 1 Kings 19:3, when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So Elijah, like the rest of us, as a man, he knew fear. He knew, confusion, doubt. Just because you love the Father, I mean, look at King David for an example. King David was proclaimed to be a man after Yahweh's own heart, and yet, look at some of the things King David did, okay? Sometimes he tested the Father. He had one of his officers put at the front of the battle so that he would die, so that he could get his wife. Terrible things. Terrible things. But it was what was in his heart that Father was talking about. Okay? So do not put men on pedestals. Number 11, Elijah faced discouragement. When I read 1 Kings 19, that account of Elijah fleeing from the clutches of evil Jezebel, I breathed a sigh of relief. The sigh isn't birthed by the fact that Elijah fled or that Jezebel tossed her evil threats his way. After all, who takes kindly to threats of murder? Yikes. The sigh rises from yet another realization that Elijah was a real person facing authentic human emotions. Discouragement is or has been a battle for many of us. Reading Elijah's account reassures we're not alone. Even a prophet, a strong man of faith, faced its torrent. But the waters of discouragement failed to overtake him. Our man of faith found Yahweh's direction, provision, and correction. He found strength to squelch and overcome discouragement. Number 12, Elijah was tempted by a small vision. How easy it is to view life through the lens of human vision. We often see situations as they appear, not how they can be, or we simply make assumptions based on circumstances. Elijah proved no different. A small vision, focus of the humankind, assured he was the only follower of Yahweh God left, that everyone else had fallen into worship of the false god Baal. That proved far from the truth. In 1 Kings 19, at verse 18, we see mention of 7,000 Israelites who refused to bow a knee to Baal. Elijah was not alone, as he supposed. We've talked about that on the show many times. We can trust the vision of our Heavenly Father. 1 Kings 19:10, he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh, the God of armies, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. That was his lament, and then he was chastised because, no, he wasn't. 13, Elijah was taken up to heaven. One moment Elijah walked the earth, the next he was taken up into heaven. Elisha, his successor, watched it unfold. I often wonder what emotions Elisha encountered at that moment. As they continued on and talked, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Now, I want to mention the fact, if you go to that verse and do the word study, chariots, fire, horses, etc., could have been interpreted slightly different. All we know is it was, to the writer, it appeared as such, and that was the best description he had. So again, you don't need to take it literally word for word every time. It's just there was an event and he was taken up. 14, Elijah left a legacy. When Elijah departed earth, a legacy remained. Elisha, the prophet mentioned earlier, clung to Elijah. He received a double portion as a result of being present when Elijah departed. Elisha went on to champion the message of following Yahweh Almighty and no other. Elijah's legacy continued. When the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho over against him saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And that's found in 2 Kings chapter 2. So again, these are the attributes of a prophet like Elijah. When Elijah returns, he may not be called Elijah. Okay, we're not talking about looking for a man called Elijah. He doesn't say his name will be Elijah, but he will be as Elijah. And that's why you need to pay attention to the attributes. The final one here, 15, Elijah appeared with Yahshua. Imagine the view, Elijah standing alongside Moses, the two conversing with Yahshua. A hushed holiness washes straight over me whenever I consider it. Elijah did not have to imagine. Peter, John, and James witnessed this spiritual wonder. Yahshua was about to experience the jeers of many, the pain of crucifixion. The three together, Moses, Elijah, and Yahshua, represented fulfillment of the promise of salvation. Moses symbolized the law. Elijah represented the prophets, the restoration of all things. And we know that Yahshua fulfilled the promise of salvation beautifully. Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. So anyway, again, this is a website, crosswalk.com. You can go there yourself at your leisure and read down through those attributes. But I thought it was important to discuss those with you tonight because, again, I believe we're in the area of not only Ezekiel and Obadiah, but Malachi. Because the world has turned its back on our Father, and we're suffering because of it. So the answer, of course, is that the people need to return to the Father. I saw a bumper sticker many years ago when I was just coming into the identity message. It was on the back of what turned out to be a fellow worker at the plant I was at. He was a former major in the United States Army, but he was a believer in the identity message, and his bumper sticker said, God's law or chaos. How simple and yet so profound. God's law or chaos. The founding fathers had another way of putting it. They said, you will be either ruled by God or by tyrants. Okay, well, we're obviously not ruled by our Heavenly Father today. You know, it's amazing to me. Every time I talk to racialists, supremacists, Klansmen, libertarians, national socialists, patriots, constitutionalists, on and on and on. Every time I tell them, you know, if we lived according to God's law, everything you people bitch about would be taken care of. Now, we have to talk about the fact Yahweh's law as properly interpreted, okay, not the church world version. That won't work for anybody. That's wishy-washy, blow in the wind, don't stand for anything, lukewarm hypocrisy and idiocy, what the church world teaches. So when we say Yahweh's law, living according to Yahweh's law, we're talking about rightly divided law, properly interpreted from the original languages, which, of course, the church world today is abysmal in the effort to do that. Oh, they're just a feel-good organization. I've read statistics that say that people are leaving the whitewashed sepulchers in droves. They don't stand for anything. In fact, they're just the opposite. Those prostitutes behind the pulpit are setting up the sheep for slaughter. Literal slaughter, folks. The commies are here. And again, all you got to do is read the books by Alexander Solzhenitsyn on what the Bolsheviks did to the true Russians. The Bolsheviks were not Russians. They were Jews. Okay, get that straight in your head. You won't understand a damn thing about history if you don't care about the truth. Nothing will make sense to you if you don't care about the truth. If truth does not matter to you, you need to leave. Leave this channel, leave the discussion, leave the fight. Do not come near our foxholes if truth doesn't matter to you. Because you are a lightning rod for disaster. I don't want you anywhere near me. You could have $1 trillion in your pocket. You could have a 10,000-man militia. You could have a high level in government. I don't really care. You are a lightning rod for disaster if truth doesn't matter to you. Because Christ said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And the truth is what sets you free. You want free from all your ailments? Learn the truth about the medical mafia. You learn the truth about vaccines. You want to know the truth of scriptures, get the hell out of those churches and start studying with people that know the identity message. Go to your heritage, your biblical heritage, I'm sorry, yourbiblicalheritage.com and get started. Learn the truth. Learn the truth. And you will be set free. You study the Constitution for yourself and you'll be free of the ignorance of these politicians that are totally ignorant of what's in the Constitution. Even these police officers, most of them don't know a damn thing that's in it, yet they're sworn to uphold it. I hate to say it, but even most of the people that I went into the military with, if you ask them what was in the Constitution, they didn't know. It was just an oath they had to take to get the job. And unfortunately, many of our police officers are exactly the same way. They don't know what's in there. They take an oath to uphold it, but they don't know. They just want the job. They'll swear to anything. They're like lawyers. They're like the prostitutes in Washington. They hold their hand up, they take the oath, but since nobody holds them accountable, they figure no big deal. I don't need to know. I don't need to know about this. But what does Yahweh say about oath breakers? Okay? You're not supposed to swear an oath and then plan on not keeping it. There's a curse on you for that. And we, the people, should be holding them accountable when they turn against us that way. We ask for the tyranny that's on our heads right now. We ask for it when we walked away from the process. We, the people, are in charge, and we were to be guardians, ever vigilant, according to the Founding Fathers, ever vigilant and guarding our rights, even to the point of blood on the Tree of Liberty. Thomas Jefferson said it, and many of the Founding Fathers, the Tree of Liberty must be quenched with the blood of tyrants and patriots from time to time. Even Christ himself said, what greater love hath a man than he that would give his own life for a friend? That's what your Messiah said, okay? It doesn't say sit on your ass in your house watching television every night or playing computer games or going to watch sporting events and never get involved. When you have criminality around you, when you have criminality in the church or in government or in the police department or whatever, the men are supposed to get there. Not just one man. The men should get together. It reminds me of being in the hills of Pennsylvania as a young boy, and there was a little girl that disappeared. Little girl up in the mountains. And who went to look for this little girl? The men of the county got together. There were some police officers there, and there were some sheriff's department people there, but they were there mostly to give some kind of order and a help and technique. But the people that were beating the bushes, armed, by the way, these men were armed, looking for this little girl, were the men of the county, the fathers, the uncles, the grandfathers. They picked up their weapons, and they went into the bush looking for the little girl. And eventually, they found her. And it turns out she was kidnapped by a hermit that lived up in them woods in a shack. Okay? And he was promptly arrested and dealt with. And praise the Father, the little girl, I believe, was unharmed. She was alive, I know that, but I don't know anymore. Because back then they found it very distasteful putting details of such things in the paper. All it said was she was back with her family safe and sound, and kept her name out of the paper and kept her condition out of the paper. We don't do that anymore, do we? Now, we want all the dirty details because we're a bunch of gossipers, the very thing Christ condemns in Scripture. Gossipers, backstabbers, they're part of the condition in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the condition of mankind near the end of the age. And that's one of our attributes, gossipers. Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, we got Henry here. Henry, welcome back to the program, buddy.
Yeah. I had a little bit of an experience last night. There was this show on the web. I know you've heard of Rick Wiles, True News. Take him or leave him. I mean, I like the fact that he does a pretty good job exposing the Jews and Zionism especially. And he had a live stream going last night, and I have never, ever in my life gotten into one of these chat boxes before, because it's just, to me, it's just crazy, because especially on his site, I mean, the comments flow so fast, there's no cohesion whatsoever, so you can't really have any conversation or engage. But nevertheless, you know, he's got a lot of fans, and you know, the thing that struck me was, and you've talked about this a lot too, and from many other websites that you've seen and comments that you've seen, you see people are waking up, the Zionists, people are waking up to the Jews all over the place, and that's certainly true on his channel and on his live stream. So anyways, I got into the chat. I just wanted to throw a couple of comments in there because, you know, it was pretty unanimous. There was a couple of Jewish shills on there, you know, whatever you call them, bots, whatever. But for the, 98% of the people on there were gung-ho, Jews are the problem, blah, 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 blah. And I thought that was great. And everybody, it was like a little echo chamber, and everybody was being politically correct and, going right along with what Rick was saying. And again, I don't dislike Rick Wilde because he's doing a good job exposing them. Say what you want about him. He has his shortcomings. He doesn't understand Christian Israel, that's for sure. So I decided to, just kind of put a little spin on all the comments, and I started throwing out a couple of comments out there relating to who true Israel was. I used a couple of Bible verses, how Jesus Christ came for his lost sheep, and a couple other things. And within minutes, there was 3 to 4 guys that were regularly throwing comments into this chat box that started attacking me, calling me white racist, white supremacist, this, that, and the other thing. The minute you talk about Christian Israel, you are attacked unmercifully. Even in a show like that where they understand how evil the Jews are, you go and start a narrative whereby you point out who we really are, who true Israel really is. And I was just amazed. There was one person that kind of was joining with me, and there was 3 or 4 that were attacking me viciously. And I just thought, that's the last time I ever do that. First of all, I think it's kind of silly to do it in the first place because, like I said, it's just too fast and you can't really accomplish much in that setting. But it really kind of, it pisses me off because I think it illustrates that even though people are onto the Jewish question, the Jewish problem, the BQ, they just fail or just cannot understand who their real identity is. And when somebody is bold enough to say it, they just attack you because it's groupthink. It's just like, well, he's saying something that, I was pointing out the universalism and all this other nonsense. But it was pretty bad and left a bad taste in my mouth and leads to say I'll never do that again. But I don't know if you have an opinion on that. You talk about a lot of people waking up to the Jews, and there's no question about it because it's clear as day, but they don't want to find out about our true identity, and that it's pretty disturbing to me.
Well, what the IDF is, right? Israeli Defense Force?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Do you know they have a branch of the IDF now that's, I think that's called the Home Media Office or just the Media Office? Do you know what their job is?
Don't tell me. They fill these streams and chat boxes with goons,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh my
God. You had some young punk Israelis that are sitting over there getting paid shekels with their little yarmulkes on to do exactly what they did, and that is to do damage control because the wake-up is happening, and so they have to get in there and make it look like you're some deranged white supremacist or whatever. But that's the only thing they've got, okay? And that's why Operation Talpiot is what they started years ago and why they convinced our whores in Washington to pass laws that made it okay that all of our electronics, as far as platforms, emails, phone calls, and everything, are routed through Israel.
Yep. It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It was like the thing that I was left with, though, is they kind of surrender to the fact that, there's 95 to 98% of the people making comments are dissing Israel and Zionism. And they don't really, I don't think these people you're talking about from Israel who are planted in there, I guess they feel like they can't do much about that. But, boy, you go on and talk about Christian Israel and the identity message, and my God, they are on you like shit, like flies on shit. It was incredible because they weren't criticizing anybody else who were knocking the Zionists and all that stuff, but as soon as you start talking about our true heritage, oh man, they were on me and attacking me viciously.
So let me ask you a question. As an old bombardier told me in World War II, when you're flying over a target and the flak gets pretty damn thick, what's it tell you?
You got it.
You're right over the target.
Exactly.
You're over territory that they don't want to lose. Okay.
No, man. You remind me so much of my brother, not the brother that I recently lost a couple last year, but I lost a brother in 98. He was only 42 years old.
Gee,
and I mean, you want to talk about salt of the earth? This guy, this is before the internet. Okay, his name was Ron LaPlante, and he had a virtual library on National Socialism, Adolf Hitler, the whole world. He knew more. I mean, when I say a library, he could have filled two bedrooms with all the books he had, and almost the vast majority of all the books he had were written very, very close to the actual event. I mean, they were way back from like 1950, et cetera. So,
right.
And he knew how, I know you understood the whole hoax way back then, but how many people back in 1998 understood how good National Socialism was, Hitler and the rest? He had to do it by going to libraries and reading books, something people are too lazy to do today. So every time, like when you respond to me like you just did, like I was over the target, that's why they were on me. It's like he thought the exact same way. He always knew, he actually didn't speak a lot, but every word that came out of my brother's mouth was right to the point and matter of fact and on the target. And he knew the enemy way back then, when it was much harder to identify them. I was always, when I saw how interested he was in Hitler and all those books he had and stuff. In fact, I inherited all those books when he died. But when I think I told you before, he's the one, when we played war when we were kids, we were always the Germans. When we were in our 20s, we both had Harley Davidsons, right? You know what he did? He went out and he bought two authentic World War II German helmets, and we used to wear them when we rode. And that was just my brother Ronnie. And he knew what he stood for, and he wasn't afraid to confront anybody about it, even back then when it was completely, I mean, now a lot of people are waking up to all whole hoax. But back then, I don't think you can remember too many people back in 98 who were onto that stuff, because we didn't have the internet. And since then, since I've woken up, not just to the identity message, but what the evil that was perpetrated on our German brothers, and I'm half German, so I feel it. And it's just, I think back to my brother, and I think back to why, if he had continued to live, and he was living today, what an unbelievable relationship I would have with him now. In fact, I'm sure he'd be part of this White Stallion group right now, too, because he was also solid. I don't know if he knew the Christian Israel message back then. We didn't talk too much about that, but I know he was solid, and I know he just understood things, and he had just had an amazing ability to dissect the truth. And it's a shame, but Yahweh called him early, and I didn't understand, obviously didn't understand it at the time. And as my life has, taken place since then, and the most, and finding the identity message and finding out the truth about, especially the truth about World War II, which is, I think, three or four years ago, I probably watched Schindler's List and believed it was a decent accounting of what took place. That's how far I've come in just a short period of time. But when I think about the awakening that I've had, not just to National Socialism, but to identity, it just makes me
miss like hell my brother Ron. And just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
He was a great, great guy.
Yeah.
I miss him so much.
He's with us tonight, buddy. He's with us tonight. And let me recount something. Just as I got a chuckle as you were talking about Ronnie. Guess what I bought about 2.5 years ago? Some World War II German helmets. And guess what I wear on my Harley Davidson in South Florida?
Oh my God! That's incredible.
I got a German helmet that I wear when I ride. I get comments. Yeah. It's surprising how many people don't even know that is a World War II German helmet.
Just for some perspective. No, I did it. He bought two of them. He knew why he wanted them, and I was his little brother. I was 2.5 years younger than him, and he took me under his wing, and he included me in everything he ever did. I was always included, and he was the best brother any person could ever want. And I swear, I am not exaggerating. And so when he got those helmets, that was just enough to him. He was dead serious about that. We would put the helmets on and ride. To me, it was cool because we would get reaction from people. We'd be at stoplights and they'd roll down their windows and stuff, and we would just glare at them and just dare to say something. And it's like, because we were kind of kick-ass guys back then. We'd get in a few jams. I admit that, you know, I had some wildness in me. We both did. But it's just, I don't know from what my point here is. It's just that I guess I'm just thinking a lot about him lately, and I know that you're going to meet him someday. You're going to, when you shake his hand and you find out what he's all about, trust me, he'll be in your circle of friends.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yep, I'm sure. You know, it was in 1999 or right around 99-2000 time frame that Germar Rudolph came to Michigan where I was at, and I arranged a meeting at the American Legion. I rented a meeting hall there and invited him to come over and speak to us about the books he had read, about what he found out, because he was an engineer in Germany. And he went to investigate the so-called death camps and showed from an engineering perspective that there's no way those camps could have been used the way that was told. Now, he stayed in Chicago for some time and eventually was extradited back to Germany and spent some time in jail. I believe he's out now, but he spent some time in jail simply because he wrote a factual account from an engineer's point of view that the buildings could not possibly have been used the way the Hola hoax says that they were done. So some of us, before the internet got big, did learn about it from things like that, having people like Germar Rudolph and other speakers. But it took physically having a meeting and people showing up at the meeting, whereas that takes time to reach very many people. And Yahweh said that there would be an increase in knowledge and a revealing of the truths that had been hidden. And thanks to the internet, we now are able to reach millions and millions and millions of people rather quickly if they care about the truth. There is the line of demarcation is between those that are going to burn up with the tares and those that are going to go with the Savior into the granaries. The line of demarcation is truth. Do you want the truth? Are you willing to hear the truth even if it hurts your feelings? Even if it means that you were lied to and buffaloed for most of your life, are you willing to hear the truth?
Exactly. That's exactly been my experience since this started with me several years ago. And I think 9/11 was my first the first thing I looked into. And you make a decision. I think it separates the
the wusses from the real men. If you're afraid to admit you've been wrong about something, then there's no hope for you. Then you just you're just useless. You're a useless idiot, and I think the majority of people are like that. But the moment truth hit me in the face, and like I say, it happened to be 9/11. Most people, if they like in the last 4 or 5 years, if they find out the truth about 9/11, they probably start going forward into today's debaucheries that are going on. I actually spent more time going in reverse because I said, well, if that happened then, what the hell have they been doing up until then? And that's why I went all the way back to World War One and World War Two, which really essentially were the same war. And because I think the reason I was inclined to go back in time, especially with National Socialist Germany, is because that seed that my brother planted in me, even though I was just like a crazy young guy, I was big into weightlifting and fighting and biking and stirring up trouble now and then, and I was kind of wild, and to me that stuff was just kind of cool. I'll put an SS sticker on me, I'll wear that helmet, I'll just dare somebody to say something to me. And that's why I did it back then, but I know he did it for a different reason. So when I found out about 9/11, I decided I wanted to know why he was so enthralled with that. And that's why I went back, and I'm so glad I did, because he's glad I did and heartbroken by what I found out.
Mm-hmm. Now, where's his library today? Did you say you have it?
Yeah. I had it for... Okay, so when I bought this current house that I'm living at, which was 6 years ago, we decided what we were going to take and what we weren't going to take, and I sold the whole thing to somebody. And I wish I... See, back then, I still hadn't woken up. It was 6 years ago, so it's gone.
Oh,
gone.
Wow.
He even had record albums, like the March songs and... Luftwaffe song. It was just, he had everything. He had books, records, freaking medals, helmets. It was just, man, I was just, I naturally, I regret doing that. I wish I had it now, but I made a mistake, can you say.
Well,
but,
yeah, you can't cry over spilled milk.
Yep, you can't, but I don't know. I've wanted to tell you about my brother Ronnie for a while, because he was so unique. I shared with one of our other stallions about a year ago. I shared my story about my brother Ronnie with Phil, because I know Phil is very much into the true understanding of the National Socialists. And but anyway, I never told you about him, and I just came about tonight, and I don't even know why. I guess I'm a little emotional because of all the shit that happened today. But I'm thinking about a lot of things, and I miss that guy so much, man. But I am so looking forward to being with him again. And I know he's going to be pleased with me. I know he's going to be really pleased with me for waking up, because I wasn't awake back then. I was just going along for the ride, and my big brother took care of me, and that's all I cared about. But and let me tell you something else about him. This is probably not cool. A lot of people probably think this is being arrogant, but this is a guy that you would never want to mess with either physically, and he never started fights. But let me tell you, you say the wrong thing to him or try to embarrass him, and again, he was a quiet guy. He said he spoke, and when he spoke, he had something to say. Otherwise, he kept to himself. But if you pissed him off, look out. I've seen that guy. I think I've actually saved a couple of people's life, because once he started, it was over for the other dude. I mean, he was nobody ever beat him in arm wrestling. I mean, he was built like a rock. He was like he was about 6'1" and about 240, 230, 240, give or take, and just a rock of a man. In every sense, physically, emotionally, steady character, high character. When I needed advice on anything, whether it was girls I was dating, anything, he would tell me straight up, you don't want to be with this one. In fact, the girl I was with before I married Pam, he told me straight up, she was gorgeous. She was maybe 10. I don't know. She was up there. He told me, get away from her. He knew what she was all about. And I woke up to that, and I did eventually get rid of her, and he was right. He was right about everything. I don't know how he's such a unique guy. I mean, there's just so few of them. I put you in the same category. That's why I respect everything you do. And because I know you're very much kindred spirit with my brother Ronnie. And I think that's one of the reasons I've been drawn to your show and you so much, because in a lot of ways you do remind me of him. And I think if my brother was alive today, we'd all three be friends. I know it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I've been on the show for a couple years now, and I just, you know what? I think it was about time I paid a little tribute to my brother. I mean, I never had a chance to do, maybe, I don't know how many people are listening tonight, but you know what? My brother Ron was the best, best of the best. And I look forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that.
I'm sure you've had friends or maybe relatives yourself like that. I don't know, but wow. That, you know, that's what a big brother's supposed to be. That's what a brother, you know, I have two brothers, both of them older. And the one that died recently, he was like 180 degree opposite of Ron. He went his own way, atheist, self, accumulate, material, his entire life. Never. And while we were growing up, he was only a year or so older than my brother Ron, but he never had a relationship with us. All he ever did was bring drugs into the house and turmoil and problems. And I never even became friends with my older brother until he was in his 60s. And even then, it was just, you know, we could only talk about so many things. We couldn't talk about scripture or anything like that. We could only talk about the Jewish problem. But and I don't know what became of him. I don't know. But I know my brother Ron. It's just amazing. Three brothers, and two are so connected, and the other one is so, so different. I'm sure,
well,
you know.
Yeah, that's where Michael, when he says that, you know, it's not just the hardware that you have to get right, you have to get the software right. So we have a lot of our people have the right DNA and the right hardware, but the software within, the heart, the soul, it's not right, okay? It's just not right. So that's another interesting thing. I'll have to send you a picture of me on the Harley with the helmet on, because that's almost the same size that I am. So Ronnie and I would be.
He had a mustache too, right? He had like a walrus mustache. Don't tell me he got that going too.
No, I don't. No, my all beard right. And mustache are okay, but they're not good enough for stuff like that. So other than that, we would be brothers from a different mother as far as what we believe in, what we study, and even our size. So that's pretty interesting.
Where did you live back in the late 90s?
The late 90s, for 10 years, I was in Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've been all over, because as a contractor, I went where the work was, just like a, what do you want to call it? We call them contractors today, but itinerant workers, or the guys that used to follow the crops when they came into harvest time, they'd follow go to the farms and bring them in. That's pretty much what I did in the power industry. I followed startups and building of new plants and different things like that. So it gave me a chance to learn a lot of different things, meet a lot of different people, see different parts of the country. And so it was a good experience. It really was. It was scary when I started, because every so often you had to uproot and start all over again, new people, new procedures, new plant, learn your way around, learn who to talk to. But after you learned that you could do it, it was a confidence builder. And like I said, it it allowed for much to education as far as the different people I got to meet. Bubby, 1483, says here, my youngest brother died at 58. His whole life was for Milwaukee's Best and Green Mountain Tobacco or any tobacco he could get. We've all lost loved ones for some of the decisions they made. And I don't know what the difference is. Like I said, the hardware is there, but somehow the software gets screwed up. There's a bad code, or there's a virus, or there's a Trojan bug. It just gets in there and mucks up the software. I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, but I think you have to agree, though. I mean, some Yahweh calls some of us. I mean, Ron, I know, you know, he definitely he had heart issues. There's no question about it. So he didn't eat the right food. I know that.
The truth has been hidden, and all that's going to start coming out. The truth about nutrition, the truth about what they've done to our food. Also, there are technologies that can reverse many of the ailments our people have. So we didn't have to lose. I didn't have to lose my mom and dad early to the medical iatropic death, which is death by doctor. I lost them both to malpractice. You can't sue them because nobody will testify against another doctor.
I know all about that. My father and both my brothers all died of medicide in hospitals, and I know in two of the cases that, especially my father's, it was absolute butchery. It was just, and yeah, you don't have a prayer fighting that system.
So. Right. So hopefully very soon all that will become available to us, and many of the ailments our people suffer will be healed. But people shouldn't take it for granted. Again, these are the blessings that Father said would be poured out upon his children, and only his children who call upon his name. Every scripture we read tonight, and we read almost every time there's a program, talk about those who love him, obey his commandments, and call upon his name. And I don't know what's wrong with people that they can't get that. I mean, they're so brainwashed by these false churches and these false teachers and the media and everything else. It's just unbelievable, the ignorance that our people have. Unbelievable. But anyway, Henry, let me bring Jimmy in on the conversation here. I think he might have a few things he wants to add. So, Jimmy, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Henry, prayers up to you, brother. Broken bones are never any fun, especially a foot. So prayers up to you. And I listened with great intent because my older brother was a year and a half older than me and just identical. You know, it wasn't when he got his car. His first car, you know, I was still too young, but I was his co-pilot, and we had the same friends, and both played sports in high school, and you know, we were attached at the hip, and the only time we really got into any kind of feuds is when we were after the same gal, you know. I listened to your story with intent, my brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate that very much, and I thank you.
Well, I also lost Mike very young. I was a freshman in college, and I got a phone call. He was a little bit eccentric. He had a really good job with Kraft Foods, worked his way up the ladder pretty fast, and I think he had a little bit too much wealth for his age, and would show it off, and that ended up getting him. Getting him bumped, and I'll just leave it at that. But in the world news, as I put in Dan's chat room, and it was shared by one of my listeners today, what the heck is somebody got to Trump, and I'm not going to be a – oh, and I also, Henry, before I get off on that thread, you're right about these chat rooms. I mean, you know, I run – my channels, and I've got people, you know, let me give a shameful shout out to Miss Deb, and Aussie is with us tonight from Australia, and Easy Pass, and you know, we're all the same like-minded, and we have a small but polite group. Every once in a while, we'll get infiltrated, and I don't have any patience for it. I mean, I am not going to judge you if you have a different opinion, but you come in here, and you're obviously a paid troll, is what I call them, trolls. And Dan,
yeah, and you know how you can tell? And that's how I identified them last night, too, actually, because it was name-calling. It's always name-calling. You know, it's just, what have I even said? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the sign that it's the IDF media squad, because the Jew only has ad hominem attacks in their arsenal of weapons to use against you. They can't win an argument. They can't carry the narrative based on logic or history or facts. The only thing they've got is to attack the man. That's what ad hominem means, to attack the man.
Well, and you nailed it. We had a group of muzzies going after us yesterday, and, you know, trying to educate us, and they're getting a bad rap, and, you know, and when he knew that he couldn't bend us or even get us to listen to him, wham. It was attack. I mean, we were this and that and slobs and, you know, and so, you know, and I see that was not my my room. It was another channel that I do go to occasionally. So I have no control to, you know, to kick them in the butt. But they come in there and do that on our channels. I don't have time for that. We're in deep, 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 deep trouble. Did I say deep, deep or deep, deep, deep? It's deep,
that's
deep,
exactly.
Anyway, and I just don't,
Fred, I was just going to say that's exactly how I felt. When it became really clear to me that that was what was happening, I just, it got a bad taste in my mouth, and I said to myself, this is not going to be, I can't accomplish anything here. I was surprised at myself for even taking part in it in the first place, because I know how those things generally go, so... Never again. It's just,
well, and I get wrapped up in it sometimes too deep, and our, I call her my day wife, Deb. Deb is a professional. She'll go in there and slap them around, and I just, I'm not going to get myself all stressed out over dealing with some idiot like that. Plus, I have, you know, I've got a real job that I do the shows, but that's, you know, that's secondary. So I don't give them too much time. But what I wanted to get to, Dan and Henry, is what the heck's going on in the recent days? We've got the Democrats all of a sudden backing down. We're not going to impeach, and all of a sudden it came out today. Actually, Deb shared the breaking news with me, and it looks like Trump is going to let Roger Stone, and I forget the other person she mentioned. One of the other ones that's a good guy that's in jail or whatever.
I don't know if I say Roger Stone a good guy, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm not saying he's a good guy because he, you know, his hands aren't clean. He there's no way in the positions he's held.
He's a Zionist.
Yeah.
I think clearly Roger Stone's a Zionist. Would you agree, Dan?
Yes, he is.
So
oh, and
I don't, I'm not going to cry one tear for Roger Stone. What may he rot in prison for all I care. But I think you're the better point that you were making, Jimmy, is that Trump has no allegiances with anybody except the Zionists, and except them. He will let anybody burn. In fact, Dan, you sent a link to something today about how Trump has screwed people over his entire life.
Go ahead.
I mean, this goes back to his real estate days and all his powers.
That was Colonel Potter talking about
Colonel Potter.
That he actually knows in Las Vegas that built things for Trump, and Trump turned around and screwed them out of their pay, out of the money.
Yep. Yeah, I've heard that too. And you can't be in the casino business and have clean hands. I'm sorry. And I actually automated a bank up in New Jersey, and I got done way early, and they were very appreciative, and they flipped me one of their cars, and they sent me over to the Jersey Shore for a week on the bank, on their nickel, and I stayed in the Trump Plaza over there, and I saw the helicopters come in to get the money, and you know, and they said, Jimmy, enjoy yourself, but do not go outside the front of the hotel. Well, what do you think? I had to go see what was out in front of the hotel, and it was absolutely disgusting. Little babies in diapers playing in the sewer, and I mean, it was just, I'm in a billion-dollar business, and just literally across the street was, and you know, I'm a sucker for helping people, and I say that because I typically get burned in the end, but you would think that if Trump was a good guy, he would have cleaned up that community. Wouldn't have cost him much. But anyway, I'm not going to go. But, yeah, and back to what you said, Roger Stone's hands aren't clean, but here's where I do stand up, not for him, but for what's going on in Manafort, you know. It's the way that they are shutting these guys up is where I get lathered up. Roger Stone's hands cannot be clean for, I mean, hell, he was, wasn't he involved, was he involved with Nixon, and didn't he have kind of a shadow position in Watergate, and
Right. Plus his involvement with InfoWars over the years. I mean, clearly, you know, we know what we're dealing with there.
Well,
I'm on the fence with that, yeah.
Maybe the Democrats are backing off because Trump's starting to roll over.
That's my theory, Commander Dan. That is exactly, and my trusted friends in the chat room in 7 Radio. I mean, the writing's on the wall. And
you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when the Berlin Wall came down. Now, everybody thinks the Berlin Wall came down because communism was defeated. That's not true. It came down because the communists had infiltrated the West, and there was no longer a need for a wall. The West no longer stood for its values. We were accepting communism exactly as Nikita Khrushchev and many of the other leading communists of the day predicted, that we would fall like overripened fruit. All they would do is put their agents within our country and spew their communist bullshit in our universities, in our schools, in our churches, and in our government officials because of the shekels that are in their pockets. And over a period of time, we got lazy and we didn't hold anybody accountable and we didn't stick fast to our principles. And so now we have become like them. I mean, that's what...
Well, everything that we've grown up with. I'm a little bit younger than you guys, but not much. We came up in the same basic generation. And to Henry's point earlier, and 9/11, I mean, that's what really kind of woke me up. I didn't really get the full awakening until 2007. But I'll never forget the day I'm in my office and I watch this, and I think, Dan, I've said it before on the crawler below, it appears to be an electrical failure that's causing this fire. And then all of a sudden, wham, you see the second plane. And then, of course, we all know about, I think it was BBC or something, the reporter said Building 7 had fell, and in the backdrop behind her, the damn thing was still standing.
Right.
But my point to that is, what is true? What in the world is true anymore?
The image that about 9/11 that I continually go back to that blows my mind that I could have accepted the narrative when it happened and kept it for all those years is the second plane, as you just mentioned, when it goes into the tower and then you see the nose of the plane literally pop out the other side. How is that possible? I mean, how stupid are we to believe that nonsense? I'm ashamed that I never looked into it earlier.
Take it one step further, Henry, one of the folks I follow out there made a good point. These two recent aircraft crashes, there was debris and body parts all over the place, and that in Pennsylvania, what was it? It was a crater Nothing. There was nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then, of course, the Pentagon. To me, I'm no professional commercial pilot, but I would bet you, as an engineer, there is no way in hell that that plane could come in and maintain any kind of velocity at that level, at that height. I mean, it was, you know, if the gear was down, it would have landed. None of it makes any sense. The people that purportedly, you know, I think that Cheney was involved. I think Bush was involved. They at least had knowledge. I think Rudy Giuliani, you talk about somebody that I don't trust. Oh, my Rudy. Goodness.
Oh, please. Yeah, you know, can you imagine the laugh that those people like Cheney had after they pulled that off and they saw that the American public was ready to go to war for that? Now, it's just...
Well, they also saw that they had us scared shitless, and that's where everything changed, gentlemen, as you both well know. Airport security and it's for our protection. And look, we don't want another 9/11. And, gentlemen, I really, as a calculated thinker, they're up to something, and my fear is, or concern, I don't have fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. I have concern that if Trump pushes too hard or we begin to push too hard, they're going to pull off another false flag, and it's going to dwarf 9/11, period. And the other bit of breaking news I wanted to throw in the mix, which is relevant, Trump goes out today, and I got this from another news source, telling people to just be good on Twitter, and they won't get banned.
Yeah.
Really? Are you kidding me? So in other words, shut up, talk about roses and kitty cats, and you won't get banned on, you know, screw Twitter and Facebook. And then from a technology side, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram all suffered worldwide outages today. Guys, that doesn't happen. There's too many redundancy systems.
They're up to something, and that's why I tell people, we can't trust in the arm of flesh. The scripture makes that very, very clear. They turned Trump into a messiah, and he is not a messiah, okay? We are in the position we're in because of our disobedience. That's clear. Only obedience will bring us back into the good graces of our Father. When people say, finally, I've had enough of man's law, I'm sick of the lies, the deception, the criminality, I want to live under God's law, period. And I want godly men to be in government positions over me, to be my rulers, period. My commanders of
the military.
You
know, the only way I see that? The only way I see that happening without a divine, a catastrophic event, would be this huge, devastating false flag that would literally, because Dan, you and I both know, living in Florida, any time there's a tragedy, and you actually mentioned it about the girl in the woods. When there's trouble in the community, the men come together. You might not even like your neighbor, but you're going to go out, and it's inbred in a good man. And so, you know, is it going to take something like an EMP attack or something to that extent to where people get together and help each other survive? I just don't know, but I just do not see this pressure cooker being able to handle much more, Dan.
No, because it's going to come apart at the seams. It says in Scripture, before his coming, it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And we need to, we either believe it or not. Me, personally, I believe it 1,000%. I have no doubt about it. We are in the days of Noah right now, if not worse. Okay, so what happened in the days of Noah? The righteous continued to build their arks. Now, what are the arks today? Well, it's called Jimmy, it's called Henry, it's called Michael, it's called Phil. It's a network of believers who have each other's back and are sharing information about food, about pharmaceuticals, about the truth of Scripture. Truth, because to this group, truth matters, and Yahweh's law matters. we are going to go through this and survive. Whatever happens, we are going to survive. There is no doubt about that. It's not by accident we're here talking tonight. It's not by accident we've run into each other and we find an affinity with each other. And tonight I find out I'm almost a twin of Ronnie, okay? It's not by accident. We are coming together as a family under the theology of our Father, and we are going to survive whatever these morons have planned. But here's the bad news, is the people that don't have this divine protection, they're not going to make it.
Nope.
Okay?
And
who's
up in the hospitals
right now suffering? People that don't believe. Yeah. You try to tell them about herbs and changing their diet and exercise. They laugh you out of the room. They're up there suffering. Okay? Who's dying on the battlefields? Okay? People that think the government's true and got us into the wars for good purposes. People that know better stay the hell out. So once again, if truth matters, you're going to come through this, folks. But if you don't, if you don't care about truth, then there's plenty of liars out there, and they're all in government positions, banking positions, and church positions. They'll lie to you until you're nice and comfortable, preparing you for the slaughter. I don't trust any of them. I don't either.
This is not my place to say it, but Dan, I'm anxious. You know, if I have a task or a problem, I'm not a procrastinator. I just can't deal with procrastination. I mean, I'm not saying I never have. I might put something off till tomorrow because I'm too tired. I stayed up late last night. Once we complete the show, I have got a fast track to the sleep room. But I'm anxious. I'm anxious to get on with it. I know it's going to happen. There's no doubt in my mind. And I know it's not my time or my place to call the place and time. But I agree with you. We have come together purely by accident. We've all met purely by accident. The loyal people I have that follow me on YouTube and my old Ustream channels, you know, I've met only a handful of people. And Dan, actually, you and I have met, and I met Phil, met Jay. I look forward to meeting Mike. I met one other gentleman. I forget. Ron, yeah, great guy. Great, broke bread and really had a good hours and hours of good fellowship. I'm honored. And it gives me a sense of comfort that I'm doing the right thing. But my goodness, unless there's a bunch of us in the bushes out there that just don't choose to come out right now, we got problems, guys.
Well, let me put it this way: when the proverbial shit hits the fan, we're going to find out we have like-minded brethren in many places that we're not even aware of. Okay, they're just going to appear. So we don't need to worry about that, okay? They're out there listening. I've met them in my travels. They're the people that listen. They don't post anything on social media. They don't even own cell phones, many of them. They're good old salt-of-the-earth people. They've been getting ready. They know where we're at. They read their scriptures, and they're just waiting, okay? Father's got an army, an Ezekiel 37 army out here. And when it comes to manifestation, then that's the time to move. But he's going to do some cleansing for us. He's going to make it an easier job for us. That's divine intervention, and that's going to happen. It has to happen, or we're done for. Like you said, we're few in number. However, that's the beauty of the fact that we make it. He said, when this comes down, every knee shall bow, because you will know I am the living God. Isn't that what he said?
Yep. Amen. Okay? Yes, sir.
So whatever happens in the near future, and you're right, we're not far from it. Whatever happens in the near future, it will bring glory to him, the King of Kings. That's all we need to know. It will bring glory to him, and no man is going to claim his glory. No man is going to claim they saved the day because we don't deserve to be saved. We're not going to save
I plan to be used as a tool or a soldier. And if I had a wife, I miss my Kim like nobody's business. And Henry, I felt your heartfelt comments about your brother. I lost my the love of my life, what is it now, almost 4 years ago to the same thing, death by doctor. But if I had, and she, of course, was one of us, but if I had a normal family or wife, I'd drive her nuts. I mean, if my car gets right near three-quarters of a tank, it goes to the filling station, gets topped off. I've got my go bags, my medical kits, my ammo, my everything, and I check them. What is it when you check the front door five times and to make sure it's locked? What do you call that?
Obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, well, I'm obsessive compulsive on my grab bags, my go bags, and that's where I think when Dan and I first met, that's where you got your Minuteman. Name, or, you know, I consider my, you know, I've rehearsed it. I can be in my car with everything that I absolutely bare necessities in 6 minutes, and that's from a cold, dead sleep.
Yeah, I've been a Minuteman since high school because that was our name. We were the Washington Township Minutemen. So the football team was the Minutemen, the band was the Minutemen, the baseball team was the Minutemen. And then I took that as my handle when CB radios came out in the 70s and I was in the Air Force. So I've been using the moniker of Minuteman ever since then. And I had no idea that the country would turn into the shithole that it has and that a time for the second revolution and a new wave of Minutemen would be required. It had all to do with honoring my high school, because we had a statue of a Revolutionary War Minuteman, and our band wore blue uniforms like the Continental Army and wore tri-corner hats.
Huh, interesting.
Yes, so we even had reenactments come to the high school from Jersey of reenactors for Revolutionary War period, and they would discharge brown Besses and other musket rifles and show us what kind of gear they had and everything else. I mean, people today are such pussies. I hate to be that blunt, but they really are. I mean, our men went to battle with buckskin clothing on, no change of clothes, buckskin clothing. They had a powder horn. They had some shot. They had some wadding. And they had maybe 2 days at most worth of some grains and biscuits or whatever in a pouch. And they went to war with that. That was it. Today, these guys carry 70 pounds worth of high-tech bullshit, and we act like they got to have this and that. Our men went to the battlefield and said, enough is enough, with basically what was on their backs and a few pounds of stuff on a slung over their shoulder and their musket rifle, and that was it. They weren't getting paid. They weren't getting paid. There was no guarantee they'd come home. There was no guarantee of anything, and yet they went and they said, enough is enough. So, when we learn to be real men again, things will start changing. But I think Father already knows that that's not going to happen. Our people are way too
I agree,
popular.
Dan.
And he's
I've
going
given
to
up
have
on
to,
that.
Yeah, he's going to have to save the day. We don't deserve it. Let's face it. We really don't. We don't deserve it. He's going to do this, by the way, not only to bring glory to his name, but to fulfill his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our great mother and father, Abraham and Sarah. It's a promise to them is why our sorry asses are going to be saved. The white race doesn't deserve to be saved. It's only his word. He can't go back on his word. If this was all because of our being qualified and worthy, we'd already be in the trash heap of history. The only reason we're going to make it is his promise.
Well, do you think we have a time to redeem ourselves, or is the train moving too fast? And by redeem ourselves, it's that we see that's the whole challenge. You know, I know what to do, and I know the legal path, which is totally blown up too. You know, where's the sergeant of arms? Why are we letting Muslims into our government in high places, in lawmaking places?
You have been taken over. General Flynn made this statement not all that long ago, that there has been an insurgency going on in this country. General Ben Parton, when I met him in West Virginia, told me the exact same thing. Colonel Don de Grand Pre told me the exact same thing. Michael Gaddy, who was at the Pentagon the day of 9/11, who witnessed the fact that it was not an airplane, he was there. He was on the grounds looking for debris. No plane, folks. I'm sorry if that bursts your bubble, but you need to grow up and learn the truth, okay? These men all know, and there's many officers and many enlisted men that know, we have had an active communist insurgency at work, and they are making their move for their final conquest of this republic.
But to that point, Dan, see, that's what just drives my engineer troubleshoot mind absolutely crazy. If these guys, and I always talk about, you know, people in higher authority and positions than I am, that could actually start to do something and and let us come in and follow their lead, or hell, come knock on my door. If you're honestly going to fix this and you need some talent or just a set of hands, come get me. I'll go. I'll go in a New York second. But my question is, it just your comment begs the question, I should say. How is it that these guys in higher places are not doing something? And I'm just past being patient that, yeah, you know, they've got a plan and they're waiting for this and Trump's playing 3D chess. I try to believe in that, but I can't anymore.
Get off the Trump train. Get off the Q and the Trump train. It's a waste of time. I'll tell you, there's a guy in Florida named the Florida Maquis, and he is trying to educate people and get a movement started to reenact states' rights and to lift up the office of governor, not necessarily the man in the office today. Excuse me, a lot of these governors aren't worth a spit, but uplift the office of governor to get people to start thinking about the fact we need strong governors, we need states' rights, we need to abandon Washington, D.C. That's what has to happen.
Amen.
Now, if Yahweh moves quicker, great, but till Father does that, the one thing we could work on is regaining states' rights, separating from Washington, D.C., and get a strong constitutional governor in the state, and then start using the sheriff's office, weed out the bad sheriffs, you know, get some kind of test if they fail the upholding their oath of office test, and get rid of their sorry asses. Put in the real sheriffs out there, put in some real men to work with them, but instead of staffing large police forces that end up being knocking our doors down for tax issues and bullshit like that, small local police, small sheriffs rely on the citizen soldiers when there's trouble. Just like the old days with the posse. Okay, citizen soldiers aren't professional soldiers, and there's a reason for that, because they want to go home. They're not going to go out there and slug through the mud and the bees and the gnats, slugging a rifle to do work, unless they think it's really worth it. Okay, you got professional soldiers and professional cops today that we're paying them damn good salaries to be abusive to our people. Okay, that's why you don't want large.
Well, and they're not men.
Armies. Well, they're
you
not.
Know, like
but you can't,
like Henry
you can't
was saying,
have an environment that breeds that kind of people. That's why you use the citizen soldiers. You use the posse, the militia, because they have families, they have jobs, they have homes, and they don't want to be out there unless it's a damn good reason. That's a perfect incentive to not have the garbage we see going on today. So all this stuff was proven in the past. We just need to get back to our roots, get back to the things that work, and abandon this bullshit, this communism that's infiltrated our country. And I'm going to tell you, here's the biggest question every single person should be thinking about, the Jewish question. Everything that needs to be fixed in this country can be laid at the foot of the Jew, whether it's his money or his leadership in the negative sense. They are behind 99% of all of this garbage that we're swimming in.
Yeah.
So people better be thinking about that. You cannot allow these creatures to walk amongst us, have power, have money, have holdings, have companies, and fix the problem. You can't do it. They are the authors of the problems. They are the communists.
Well, Ivanka Trump. People really realize, but, you know, Ivanka, is she just got, what, $100 million of taxpayer money to fund the woman's, woman's development movement, some bullshit. And, you know, and I don't know a lot of it for sure, but some credible people I trust are telling me Ivanka's, a closet Jew.
No, she's not a closet
correct?
Jew. She's an actual Jew.
Oh, okay.
She speaks Yiddish. Okay? She learned Yiddish so that her Mossad husband and her could be co-equals, okay? So she's gone over completely to the dark side. The whole Trump family's gone over to the dark side. What? Who in his right mind thought these guys were going to do anything for the white Christian America when they're already in bed with the one of the worst sects of Jews there is, the Chabads? You want to talk about guerrilla warfare terrorists among us? They're one of the worst, and that's who the Mossad stuck up there with his daughter, and they all fell for it. They're not going to fix
anything. Well, I mean, the whole thing, you know, Trump is a good. You know, I mean, back in my younger days, we used to go to these motivational speakers like Tony Robbins and all that bullshit. Right? It's just like Joel Osteen. He's not a preacher. He's a motivational speaker. He's a circus fucking clown.
Trump is a Talmud thumper.
Okay,
he's also
thank you. Sorry
thumper.
For the F-bomb. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like Deb asked me in the chat room earlier today, did you vote for Ivanka Trump? No. Well, what is she doing? What is she doing in any kind of position of power, number one? Number two, I wanted to sneak in there real quick. Our entire upper government right now is busy planning high school parochial games, spinning the truth, and now they're campaigning. What are we paying these people for, gentlemen?
That's why I said we need to walk away. We need states' rights again.
Gosh.
We need to become 50. The same thing the Florida Maquis says. We need to become 50 independent states once again. And we can do it.
Well,
every state of the union is equivalent in gross national product and size to other countries that already exist on this earth.
Well, how do we fall off that rail? I thought we were that way anyway. I mean, we signed on to the United States, but it's kind of like back in the day. I had an interest in a Beef O'Brady's restaurant, and it's a franchise. And we could buy our produce locally, and we could buy certain things, you know, to run the restaurant, but we had to buy certain items from corporate. And it's the same thing. Florida's a franchise, Texas, and up there, Connecticut. But where did we lose our way, and how is it that we lost track of the rules on the top of the Monopoly box, and who the hell's out there that we can go and knock on their door and say, hey, remember this?
Well,
we need to get back to that.
It's called gradualism.
Gradualism,
yeah. Because we should have been warned when they took the voting for a senator away from the state legislature and made it a general election with the populace. The Senate is not there for the people. The Senate is there to protect states' rights. Well, right there, we should have sent off the flares of warning right there.
Yeah.
And the person that even proposed that bill should have been locked up for treason. Where the hell were the governors? Where were the governors? The governor should have been holding all kinds of meetings saying, what the hell's this all about?
You want to talk about gradualism? How about what the Jews did in Germany post-World War II to the point where they're basically a Jewish country now? They took over the entire school education system, everything. Every memory of German heritage was wiped away.
And yeah, and who allowed them to do that? The Jews of America. Eisenhower.
Yep.
What's his name? Eisenhower. All of them, all in bed together. Roosevelt. All of them Jews. General Marshall, Jew,
that's
Jew.
That's what annoys me, because I had respect for all these past presidents and all the...
No.
I was never really a big history guy. I was more math and science, and I'll tell you, there's always something good that comes out of bad. And the day I woke up in 2007 has been a hell of a history lesson, gentlemen. It wasn't that I didn't care. Lincoln chopped down the cherry tree and never told a lie. Okay, good guy. I want to hang with him. Well, that's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. All of it.
Lies. Everything.
Wait till all the truth comes out, because some of it you guys haven't even heard yet. I'm just starting to hear about it. When all the truth finally comes out, we're going to find out that every single one of us has been buffaloed. Buffaloed to the point that it almost makes you just want to go into bed and put a pillow over your head and just not get out of bed. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because we're living in the Matrix. They have literally created the world that we're living in with all these lies, fictions, fairy tales. And the truth of the matter is that they cannot rule over us unless they keep us deceived. That's why they do it.
Yep.
That's why they do it. We have the power to destroy them, and that's what's going to come out when the Father gets done unveiling everything. It's going to be very apparent. These people are wicked and evil beyond your greatest imagination. Most of you can't even conceive of some of the things these people have done.
Just look at HB1. That it's not going to make it through the process. But it is obvious that they are scared of us, because now, I mean, first of all, what the hell is a hate crime? If there's no victim, if I call somebody a bloody, bloody, bloody this, that, and the other in some forum out there, okay, maybe it's not polite, or maybe it's, that's the Scottish that comes out of me, because I'm more polished than that. But I've had it with this shit. I'm not going to sugarcoat or pull any punches. But if you read that language, and Dan and Henry, if you don't have it, I'll send it off to Dan, and he can spread it around the group. You go read that, and unless you're talking about kitty cats and rose beds and unicorns, they're going to come. They're going to come
No, that's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is, just like that's what we said with Henry earlier, okay, what does it mean when the flak is the thickest? When the anti-aircraft
guns... Well, that's my point. We're over the target. Yeah.
We're over the target. So do we go ahead and close the bomb bay doors and go home? Or
hell
do we
no.
bomb the shit out of them? All right? Well,
we
bomb
the shit out of them.
All right? So that means go forward even stronger. That's the signal
that's where, again, I miss Kim, but I'm thankful that she's safe, and I'm thankful that I can do my job, that I earn my pay and keep my bills paid by being able to do it in very close proximity to ground zero here, to my mission control. And all that is, to me, I'm blessed, and that is an obvious calling. It's an obvious reason to be ready. Be ready. Don't get impatient. I'm talking to myself right now, and I'm talking to others, but you're right, Dan. That HB1 is obviously a move, amongst other things. I mean, there's three or four or five Muslims now in high-end government, and all these silly parochial games. What type of business do these people take care of every day?
Yeah, and look at who they're putting up to take Kavanaugh's place. Since he's on the Supreme Court now. Who is it? An Indian woman. Like, we don't have enough trouble with females and aliens. All right? Aliens and females. My God. The people that founded this country, you can't find one of them in Washington.
isn't it bad enough that the Supreme Court is 100% comprised of Jesuits and Jews already?
I know. Well, no, she's not going to there. She's going to take his place where he left to go to the Supreme Court. Okay? So you're going to tell me there's no qualified white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males out there to do the job. We've got to have an Indian frickin' female, like Nikki Haley wasn't bad enough in South Carolina tearing down the cultural symbols of the Confederacy, another Indian female, all right? When are we going to wake up? We don't need females, and we don't need minorities, non-whites, and we don't need Catholics running the show. They didn't start this country.
The Catholics are, my God Almighty, and this all these high priests or whatever the hell they're called, no disrespect to Father intended, it's all bullshit. It's all a scam. I told you on your last show on Sunday, I got a email from a church I used to go to years ago, and they always, you know, I used to get a daily devotion from them every day and blah, 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 and that just kind of tapered off. But when I get an email, it's that they're looking for money, you know, like around Christmas time, or they're doing a golf tournament to raise money for the school and blah, blah, blah. And I just wrote back, and I was probably in one of my wound-up moods, and I said, your 501c3 is showing.
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to sit here and be an echo chamber, but guys, it's coming. We need to be ready. I'm anxious because I very, very, very rarely procrastinate things, and this one's, you know, I'm trying to keep it to where I don't get too wrapped up in the noise out there. I am absolutely disappointed, as I put in your chat room there. And again, I'm not saying Roger Stone's a saint or anything, but it's the way they're going after people to shut them up. And even though we know Stone's hands aren't clean on these particular charges, and see, and again, here's another example of Stone. How is it that CNN got tipped off and had camera people there ready to film the raid? I mean, that was like a frickin' Hollywood production, Dan. They had camera angles all over the place.
It was a Hollywood production. This is all Kabuki theater, okay?
Right.
Okay, Roosevelt said it back in the days when he was the criminal in the White House. Nothing in politics happens by accident, okay, guys? Nothing. I don't care if it's the right, the left, the middle, what. It's all Kabuki theater. You're in the Matrix. Unplug from the Matrix.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Here's my suggestion. You want to figure this out. You want to get ready. Unplug from the Matrix and plug into the Father above. Okay? There's your answer.
Yes. You get to a point. You get to a point. I mean, when you first, like, Jimmy, like when we first learned about 9/11, you actually learned about it before I did. But, you know, you start to wake up. But, I mean, by now, if you don't realize that everything that you see on that Talmud vision, everything that you see on that Talmud vision, and now, practically speaking, most of what you see on the Internet is infiltrated totally, you just have to just turn it off. Put it out of your mind. Life can get pretty boring now. There's not a lot to do anymore. I go crazy sometimes with nothing to do. I mean, I haven't worked in over a year now. A lot of it has to do with my back, but I mean, it's pretty messed up, but you got to walk away completely and you got to laugh at it and just totally disregard it. Don't watch it. I was even watching Tucker Carlson up until about 2 months ago. I'm done. I see what he is. He works for Rupert Murdoch. Okay, so that's all you need to know. Okay, so even though once in a while he'll say things and he'll have guests on and he'll humiliate some of these liberal friggin' trannies and whatever, and these identity politics fools, and they'll make him look bad, and you'll say, "Yeah, fine, we got somebody speaking for it." But you know what? he's still a shill, and he still, you know, he still believes the official narrative of 9/11. He still believes we landed on the freaking moon. Maybe he actually doesn't, but he has to say it because he works for Fox. And it, regardless, he says it. So disregard him, disregard them all, move on. It's
well, okay. Well, let me ask you guys this. And I'm with you. And I have gone, Dan knows. I took a sabbatical for a couple of weeks because I got outspoken and got visited by some folks that told me to either tone it down or we're going to do something about it. And I went and kind of did some soul searching. But to totally detach, then how do we? How do we? See, this is going to come out strange, but and I'm not suggesting, I was going to say, how do we know what's going on, even though we know 99.9% of it's bullshit, when do we know? And I guess Dan is probably going to answer that the Father will tell us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm on this radio show today, 19 years after I started it, all because of the leading of the Father and him putting the right people and the right things in my path to make it possible. I didn't dream any of this up. I didn't invent a flat screen. I didn't invent a computer. I didn't invent the internet. I didn't invent the software that I use to do the research I do. He put it out there when the time was right, okay? Live internet radio, that was something that was in its infancy when we started 19 years ago. So, you know, he puts what we need when we need it. And I think that's
well
what he's
taken,
trying to tell
I
us
got
today.
Into this
don't
surely
get caught
by
up
accident.
on the goofy play kabuki theater that these morons and these shills and these prostitutes in Washington, the state capitals, and all the rest of them. They couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their head. They're liars. They're deceivers. And again, you only have two choices, as we talked about in Malachi and the other scriptures. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. Either Baal, which is the false gods of this false religion that runs the show today, or the living God Yahweh. There's your choices. That's it, folks. You got one or the other. You're going to follow one or the other. There's no fence there.
Hey, point well taken, Dan. I had no, absolutely no, I think I want to do internet radio. I think I'll set up a studio. And, I think I'll get on Ustream. And, I think I'll spend $2,500 on the producer software. And no, it just kind of happened.
Right.
And then it became something that was a responsibility. You know, one thing I admire you on is what I call the show clock. You are punctual. You're here at 8 o'clock each night. You're here at 10 a.m. each Sunday. There are times when, you know, the show doesn't happen for whatever reason, but it's well planned. But it was all by accident. And once I got into it, I began to get a following, and I didn't do any advertising. These people just found me.
Right.
And so therein lies the divine intervention. Okay.
That's why.
All right. Well, I have the faith, man.
The critical thing today is to stay righteous. All right. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We have to take heart in that. You want to protect your family. You want to protect your interests. Well, then be righteous. Be a righteous man. That's our job. That's what we're put here to be. So there's our greatest strength is in our righteousness. Righteousness is what? Faith, for one thing. Also, to be in communication with the Father and to live out our salvation or work out our salvation. We need to put into practice what the Scripture and what the Holy Spirit's teaching us. We need to do that every single day. And those that will listen, teach them as well. And that's all we can do. And the rest of it we have to leave up to the Father. He is the master planner. He is the commander-in-chief. And that's all we need to know. We are just servants. And we're here to do his bidding, to bring in the kingdom. That was my promise as an 8-year-old boy. I will be whatever you want me to be to bring in your kingdom, period. Whatever that takes, up to including shedding my blood. If you want it, you gave it to me, you can take it back anytime you want. Right, I'm not going to shed it, and I'm certainly not going to let the enemy shed it if I can help it. But if you want to sacrifice me, you created me, you can sacrifice me. Up to that point. So anything in between is what we work on day by day by day. And that's how you build an army. That's how you build a core group of stallions that can change the world. That's what Gideon did with only 300 men. 300 men, he defeated an army of well over 100,000. That's all. That's all it took, 300. No different than Leonidas at Thermopylae with 300 Spartans. 300 Spartans with a few thousand hoplites, and they held back almost 200,000 Persians. It just takes a group of dedicated men to do the will of the Father, and all kinds of things can happen. But he's not going to reveal that till the men decide that they're going to be in the right frame of reference and the right frame of mind. Once they get to that point, then all kinds of things will happen. And let me go back to the analogy of the radio show. Okay? It wasn't until I was ready that he made it available. I spent 7 years trying to figure out how to broadcast, mostly looking into shortwave radio. But I wasn't ready. Now that I look back at it, now I think about it, I learned a lot in the studying that I did in those 7 years while I was looking. So that when I was ready, he opened a door that I had no idea came from left field. Yeah. I had no idea that it even existed, and it come flying into my purview, and that sent me off on internet radio. I didn't even know what it was. So you see what I'm saying?
Hey, Dan, real quick story.
When we're ready, he'll open the doors.
I started doing hut radio, and hut being a house and being in the real estate world in my real job, you know, for foreclosure defense. I was Jimmy the Hut Master. And I had a Logitech microphone. Right now I've got us plugged in a very nice Panasonic system into a mixer and, you know, into a nice soundboard and all that. Back then, honest to God, and I've still got it. I kept it. It's back in the studio. I don't use it anymore. I had a speakerphone that I'd take the receiver off, and then I wired in just a cheap little phone with a headset, and I had a Logitech microphone duct taped to the speaker on that phone, and then adjusted the levels down with the Windows audio. I didn't have any mixing boards or none of that. None of it.
Right.
And I was using some free software, but it worked.
Exactly.
It worked.
Because in the hearts of the workers, they're willing to do whatever it takes, and that's the difference, okay? These mercenaries that work for the beast, they're only doing it for glory and for gain. They're not. When it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, they're just like mercenaries always. They're going to flee the battlefield because they're not in it for any kind of a altruistic reason. They're in it for glory and for gain, okay? Our side are the true righteous warriors that do it for the right reasons. And we're willing to do whatever it takes. We'll crawl on our belly. We'll go through the mud. We'll do it for free. We'll use duct tape and shoelaces to keep it together if we have to. But the fight goes on. You can't never
Amen.
Say die, and you never give up. Ever.
Amen.
Until victory.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I gotta hit the sack, and I'm gonna close here with just one simple verse from Scripture that really says it all. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And my interpretation of that is, if you seek Yahshua, Messiah, our Savior, truly, then the truth will reveal itself to you in many different ways, and it may take time. It may not be a sudden thing. It may be a gradual thing, but the truth will take you over, and you will live for the truth at that point, and the reward for that is eternal life with Yeshua. And so that Bible verse keeps me going, and with that, I'm going to say good night to you two gentlemen, and may Yahweh bless.
Yeah. Yahweh bless Henry. Hope you get better soon. Our prayers will be with you, and have a good evening, buddy.
Yeah, right. I wanted to jump in before Henry gets off. Henry, our prayers are up with you. Do you ever need anything? If it's in my pocket, it's yours, man. Dan knows how to get a hold of me, and we're praying for a quick and speedy recovery, and also praying for your the right property to come available
right.
for you to relocate. And if you ever need anything in that wheelhouse, my phone is always open to you, okay?
Yeah, hey, listen, when you just said that, my wife just said, oh, that was sweet. She's here listening.
Well,
with,
I mean it. Yeah.
Say hi,
yeah,
Pam.
We do real estate closings, and,
hey,
you know,
I want you
real estate's tricky.
Yeah, I know. I know. Hey, listen, I want you guys, my wife's going to say hi to you guys, okay? This is Pam, my wife.
Hello. Just want to say
Pam.
Hello.
Hello, Pam.
Pleased to meet you.
You take care. Hey. Take care of your groom there.
Let me tell you something, guys, okay? I know a lot of the guys on this Stallion group here. I know most of you guys are single, and I know the reasons for that too. I know how the woman in this country, for the most part, are just pathetic. I've had a lot of misfortune in my life physically. Dan knows about my back issues. I've got artificial discs in my back. I've lost a lot of money because of a lot of physical problems that I've had through my own stupidity, really. Playing ice hockey when I was in my 40s, that was not bright. And that was how I hurt my back. And I had a great career going. I finally reached six figures writing code, and then this happened to me, and I can only work 20 hours a week from 2001 forward. But so we were only married for like 6 years when I was laid up. I was bedridden for 2 years before I had that surgery. I went to Germany and had that surgery, and while it improved my situation, I still have tons of issues with it. And now, Dan, I just went over my past 12 months with you. So I've had my, for whatever reason, I'm having my share of tests here, physical for the most part with me. But I got to tell you, I got so fortunate when I met this woman, and she stands by me no matter what. And she is the, you guys, I hope someday you get to meet her, because she is the kind of woman that any one of you guys would be so happy with, to have a woman like this, because she's loyal, she's not a feminist, but she's gorgeous, sexy, and she's so supportive and so loyal to me. It makes me want to cry again. And I'm not going to do that, because I've already cried once tonight, but she
yeah,
is
that's
something
all right,
else.
But let me tell you something, Henry. My Kim was exactly that. She used to ask me, she called me Pa. She goes, Pa, when are you going to stop opening my car door for me? And I said, never. But, you know, ever. And, you know, her birthday come around. Don't get me a card and roses, and even though I did. And
you
she sat here. We actually hired her in the law firm. She was one of my foreclosure research people. That's how I met her. And we worked side by side on the radio show. We had a personal life, and we had a professional life. We never tired of each other. And see, you said it. She was loyal.
Yeah.
Loyal, you know, loyal, loyal, loyal. And that's the one thing at any time. I just turned 59, and I'm not saying I've had tons of relationships, but I was never one to sneak around, cat around, or date five women at the same time. I was a one gal guy. And
yep.
Kim, out of all of them, it was, I mean, if there's the word perfect that can be applied to a woman, and that's what I'm hearing you say about Pam. You're blessed. Take
yep.
care of each other. Life is short, and you're lucky to have that. I wish Kim was here on one hand, and I'm glad that she's safe on the other, because it's going to get it. The shit's going to hit the fan, and I'm going to pray that you guys get the hell out of where you're at if you're not happy there, and get to some place that is safe. Or
yep.
safer. I mean, none of us know exactly where, but Kentucky and Tennessee, I happen to own some land in Kentucky, and in the event that the shit hits the fan and we have to get out of Florida for whatever reason, whether it be a tsunami that's triggered by these assholes off the Canary Islands, and, you know, I do have a bug out in Kentucky. And the good news about all that up there is you have water, you have land, you have even mountainous areas that you can tunnel into. And yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, cool. I didn't mean to elongate that, but listen, Henry, we're praying for you, and you two take care of each other, because there are very, 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 very few people that I know in my general friends and acquaintances around here that still have a solid relationship like that. It is priceless.
Yeah, and you know what really puts a punctuation mark on it to me is I have had so many, you know, like the issues with my back. I mean, really serious. I paid close to $70,000, flew to Germany, and the guy fucked up the surgery, excuse my language. And I've had to live with the results of it. But the point is, through all of these setbacks, physical setbacks that I've had, she stood with me. And you know damn well, today's woman, oh, my God, the first sign of adversity or the first sign that you're going to have a diminished income or this or that, and it's not perfect anymore, and I'm going to find somebody better, not even a thought. I mean, it's just like, it's rare. And you know, Dan, you know, my brother, I told you he was a man of few words, but when he spoke, every word had meaning. Kind of like, I hate to compare him to Yahshua, but that's how Yahshua spoke too. But one of the things I remember Ron told me, I was still dating, I think I, well, he dissuaded me from dating the previous girlfriend I had for about 6 or 7 years. And he met my wife, Pam, and he told me, I see in her what you need. I see loyalty. I distinctly remember him saying that to me at a family gathering once. Like, it was the first time he met her. He recognized that trait in her just from meeting her one time. And like I said before, I respected everything he ever said to me. And I'm sure that went a long way in me deciding to marry her. So, and I can't, it's paid off because I needed her. So yeah. So Yahweh does provide. Sometimes you'll get shit like I've been going through physically, but not every guy who goes through shit like I've been going through physically has a wife that supports him like I do either. So I try to balance it out. Yeah, I'm going through a lot of shit, but I got this one right by my side. So
you have each other, and I'll tell you, that is priceless, my friend. I just know that you've got the same gal that I had in Kim. I can hear it.
Hey,
yeah, I didn't mean to make. Yeah.
I was going to say, do me a favor, you and Pam tonight, grab your Bibles and go to Proverbs 31 and start at verse 10 and read the description of Pam that's in there.
Proverbs 31. 10, correct?
Start at 10 and read to the end.
We're doing it now, and I wish I had a Geneva Bible, but we got the King James. We'll use that for now. I didn't want to make – I hope I didn't ruin the program tonight with all my emotional stuff, but I don't know. I feel like you're one of my best friends, and I felt like I needed to do it, and you allowed me to do it, and I appreciate that. And
hey, Henry, don't ever, 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 ever hide that, my friend. Real men do cry, and it's rare that I can talk very long about my situation with my gal. And it's been 4 years, almost 4 years. And I can talk a little bit about it, but I will definitely crack if I go on too long over it. It's a huge, huge hole in my heart. So do not, and Dan, I don't mean to speak for you, but don't ever apologize, brother, because that tells me you're a good man.
Right. And I hear the same in your voice when you speak about Kim.
Kim.
Yes.
So, anyway, I guess that I'll sign off with that. But thanks for letting me be part of this again tonight. And God bless.
Yep. God bless you, too. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Very good. Jimmy, any closing comments? We're almost up to the 3-hour mark, bud.
Yeah, we can burn up the time. No, Dan, I think I kind of paralleled on Henry on that, and I can't thank you enough. Two things. One, for letting me be part of this show with you and your friendship and fellowship. And thanks for all you do, Dan. And like I said to Henry, if there's something that you need and it's in my pocket, I need you to call me, and I'll do my best to get it over to you. So Yahweh bless, sir.
Yep. Yahweh bless, Jimmy. Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us tonight. And again, shout out to the 7 Radio folks over there in Tampa with Jimmy and his broadcast station and everybody that's here on free conference call. I guess we got up to over 50, actually up over 65 live, so that's pretty cool. But I can't say it enough. Again, Henry and Pam, go to that Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. You need to read it, folks. We need to read it. The men have a big job ahead of them, and the women need to know that their function is to support the men so that they can go to battle. The fighting of the battle, whether it's spiritual or physical, that's our job. What we need behind us are strong families and friends to lift us up, both in prayer and physically. So those are very, very important attributes. And here is the thing. In this world that's topsy-turvy, we do find good things. We do find the diamonds in the dung, as they used to say. Okay, you might have to go through a lot of dung to get that diamond, but boy, when you find it. That's why I like the Proverbs 31 when it refers to a good woman, a godly woman, as a very precious stone. Okay, back in the day, precious stones like rubies and diamonds were worth a tremendous amount of money. So, tough times, and we need to all stick together. It's a family thing, all right? Whether you speak Welsh or Irish, Scottish, French, Spanish, Aussie, whatever, we're all family. And we need to come back to realize that we're family, and we also need to realize who our great ancestor, mother and father were in Abraham and Sarah, and who our heavenly father is in Yahweh. Never, ever let that be out of your mind and your thoughts. That should be every day, from the time you get up to when you go to bed at night. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We give you thanks that we could have this opportunity to share both the truth of your message and the truth of the Holy Spirit, but also current events and even some of the emotional things that we men go through. We read the story about Elijah and the things that he went through. He was a man. He had the emotional things that hit him as well, and he was a great prophet of Yahweh. That being a prophet, being a man of Yahweh, does not mean we're without emotion or without our fears or without our things that we're passionate about. In fact, the sign of a true son of Yahweh is passion. Passion about injustices, passion about people that we love and care for. Passion, folks. Don't be the lukewarm that walk around in here in the world today like a bag of bones. Passion. And Father, we'd ask that you'd bless Henry with healing. May you watch over Pam and Henry. Watch over our brother Jimmy and all the listeners out there and all those that will listen later on. We need your guidance today, Father, like never before. The lies are tremendous. The deception is unbelievable in this day and age. And there aren't many people that we can trust, but we know we can trust you. You said you would never forsake us or leave us. You said you were the same yesterday, today, and forever. We trust that with all our hearts, because without you, we're lost. That's all there is to it. You are the anchor in the storm. You are the rock, our refuge. Have always been and always will be. Forgive us our sins and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.